with Purim just around the corner, let's have a shiur for Hashkafa, for Purim, and also, Emir Tzashem, I have something for you for the Parsha, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and maybe even we can find a connection between the two. Let's begin our discussion by mentioning an insight of the Rokeach, the Sefer Rokeach from many centuries ago. He says that the gematria of Esther is equal to the gematria of Shoshana. Now, the reason for that is the Tav is the equivalent of 400, and the Resh is 200, and that gives you 661. Let's take Shoshana. You've got two shins, which already gives you 600. Then you've got 65 and 6, and that gives you 661. Now, we'll soon see that Chazal compare the personality of Esther to the personality of a Shoshana, of a rose. That's very fragrant flower. Now, in addition, the Rokeach adds that if you look in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana Bein HaChochim, like a Shoshana amongst the thorns, a rose bush, which is a thorny bush, what you do is you look at what's called the Sofei Tevos. Now, the Sofei Tevos, which are the last letters in each word, always indicate something that's being subjected or subjugated, something that's being put down. It's at the end, it's at the bottom. And the last three words of the phrase Kishoshana Ben Achochim, which appears in Shir HaShirim, will produce the name Haman. That is, if you take the He from Kishoshana with the Mem at the end of Hachochim and the Nun at the end of Bein, you end up with Haman. And according to the Sefer Rokeach, this is symbolic of the success, the victory of Esther over Haman. So in the word Shoshana, and especially as we take this word and apply it to Tanakh, we have a double remez, one to Esther, and number two to the Nitzachon of Esther over Haman. The Shalah HaKadosh in Parshas Tetzaveh, and you'll see this also in the Chidah in a slightly different variation, he says that Haman is the same gematria as Chelbina. So let's take a look at that very quickly. In the case of Haman, we have the Nun, which is 50, and the Mem, which is 40, and the He, which is 5. So that gives us 95. And Chelbina is 38 plus 2 is 40, and add to the 40, 55, and you get 95. So Haman is equal to Chelbina. And Chelbina is the only one of the ingredients of Samamonim, which the Gemara in Croesus identifies as Recha Ra. In and of itself, the Chelbina has a bad odor. Now, Chazal time and time and again compare Mordechai and Esther to the good fragrance, something that smells very good. And we have Mordechai and Esther on one side. Mordechai is Milosh and Mardror, which is the finest of all the spices, with a wonderful fragrance. And you have Esther, that's Shoshana. And on the other end, you have the Chelbina, which is reminiscent of Haman, and that's Recha Ra. Now, the word Chelbina is made up of two parts. There's the Ches at the beginning, and then there's Levana, which represents, of course, the moon on the other hand. The Ches of Chelbina represents Chet. When there's Chet in Klal Yisrael are always compared to the Levana, to the moon, then you get the Ches and the Levana, which is Chelvina, and that's the Koach, the power of Haman, Chas v'Shalom. So that's what sin does to the Levana, to Klal Yisrael. Esther is always compared in the Gemara to the Levana. She's like the moon. She has this glorious splendor. And what we need to do is we have to undermine the ches of chet of Chelvina in order to produce Esther, so that Esther is going to gather together the people and enact a program of tshuva, which is going to erase the chet, the ches of Chelvina, which is Haman, because Chelvina is 95 and Haman is 95, and what we're left with is Levana, is Klal Yisrael in their splendor and their beauty. Now the famous Gemara on Daf Zayin tells us Chayav Inish L'Besumi L'Pariah Ad Lo Yod Bein Or Mordechai L'Baruch L'Or Haman L'Baruch Mordechai. And Chayav Inish L'Besumi means that a person has to get drunk. The Mishnah Bura in Or Chaim Tafresh Tzadihei in his Bir Alocha is bothered by this concept of getting drunk on Purim. V'im Tomer, he says, Hechi chayvu chazal, Mashen nizkar b'toro b'neviim, b'kama makomos, hashikrus, l'michshol gadol. We see over and over again, both in Tanakh, and certainly in Chazal, that shikrus, drunkenness, intoxication, is always identified with a michshol of chet. It's a very, very dangerous slope to slide down, because it borders on a michshol gadol. You can really fall very, very far, very, very fast. How is it then on Purim, Chazal could not only recommend, but even obligate us to get drunk? V'yesh lomar zokta mishnah bura, mipnei shekol anisim shenasu liyisol bimei achashverosh, hayu al yidei mishteh. So the Mishnah plays the important role over and over again in the story of the Purkan, the Hatzolah from Haman. Mitchila, at the beginning of the Megillah, we have the story of the grand banquet of Achashverosh, which culminated in the destruction of Vashti, and all this was a great Mishnah. Esther replaces Vashti, so the seed is sown for the Hatzolah. Then the Mapola of Haman comes through Mishteh, and therefore Lakach Chivu Chachomim Lehishtaker Ad Kidei Shiyehei Nizkaranes Hagodol B'Shtiyas Hayayim, so that the concept of Zechiras HaNes, this great miracle that came about through Mishten Yayin, should be commemorated through Mishten Yayin. The Gemara says in Megillah on Daf Yudom at Beis, Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Posach Lahai Parsha Somei Hocha. Each one of the Amoraim, respectively, would open up his understanding, his analysis of the Megillah with a different drasha. And Rav Shmuel opens up with a poskin Yeshayahu Anovi, Tachas hanatzutz yaleh bagosh, v'tachas hasirpod yaleh hadas, v'hoy Hashem l'shem li'os olam lo yikares. Says Rav Shmuel, Tachas hanatzutz ze homan arosha, she'osa atzmo avodah zarah. So the Natsutz is a symbolic representative of Avodah Zarah. That's the kind of, there's a tree that's dedicated for idol worship. And that's a reference, an allusion to Haman, who set himself up as a deity and people had to bow down to him. But Tachas HaNatsutz, to replace Haman, the Natsutz, Yaleh Barosh. Barosh Zev Mordechai Tzadik, Shenikra Rosh L'chol HaBesomim. So the word Barosh means Rosh L'chol HaBesamim. It's the top bosem that we have of all the different besamim, all of which are sweet smelling. Mordechai is on top. So he's going to replace the brush, the natsutz, the hum. V'tachas HaSirpad, Zu Vashti Arsha. Chazal have such terrible things to tell us about this evil woman named Vashti. And Yaleh Hadas, she's being replaced by Hadas Zu Esther. So we know that the Hadas has a fragrant smell, and the Megillah identifies Esther as Hadas, Hadassah. And we saw already that the gematria of Esther is Shoshana, which is a sweet-smelling, fragrance flower. And then at the end of this whole episode, in which Mordechai replaces Haman and Esther replaces Vashti, Vayah Lashem, Lashem, what does it mean, Lashem? Zu Mikra Megillah. In other words, we publicize the great miracle of God through the reading of the Megillah. Os Olam Lo Yikares, Elu Yemei Apurim. And this pasuk is going to indicate the centrality, the significance of Megillas Esther, which will never be in any way replaced, or will never ever be downgraded to a secondary kind of holiday. It'll always be a primary holiday. And that's called Lo Yikares, Os Olam Lo Yikares, Elu Yemei HaPurim. And again, the words Yemei HaPurim refer to the fact that we have both Yedalid, we have Tesvav, we have Yedalid for the Bnei HaProzim, and Tesvav for the Bnei HaKrochim. Now, at this point in our discussion, we're going to talk about the fact that Purim is a very unique holiday insofar as it starts with, shall we say, the bleak despair of the Gzeirah, the decree of annihilation of the Jews signed and sealed by Haman with the permission of Achashverosh. Chayev Adam, the Gemara says in Brachos, in the ninth parak, Chayev Adam levarech al ra'a kishem shu mevarech al tova. We have two Brachos, each one respectively for a different category of a shmua. If it's a shmua ra, then we make the bracha baruch dayan ha'emes. If it's a shmua tova, we make a bracha baruch ha'tova meitiv. And the Gemara derives this from the pasuk, v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha. Now the Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, is going to explain the word kishem, because the language of Chazal seems to indicate with the word kishem that in the same mood and with the same feeling that one makes the bracha on tova, he should make the bracha on ra'a. And that's the kishem. Okay, so let's read the language of the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. Masha Omer Kishem, Shu Mevarech Al HaTov, Ratzalomer Lekabel Osa B'Simcha V'Lev Tov. Certainly, when a person hears a Shmua Tov, he hears good news, and he recites the Bracha Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, he does so with a great deal of gusto, a great deal of simcha, of genuine feeling of joy. Lichbosh Kaso, he's not in any mood for anger. V'yetiv nafsho, and his soul, his spirit is uplifted with the goodness, the benevolence of God. Is k'shivarech dayano emes, when he has to make the bracha on God's judgment because he heard a shmua ra, is k'moshe yase b'shoshi yivarech hatov ha'meitiv, k'moshe ayu omrim ha'chachom b'rov divrayim, kol ma'iti ovid min ha'shamayim l'tav. That even though, obviously, a shmua ra, when he hears some news about catastrophe, but if you view that incident in the context of Kol Ma'adi Ovid Rachmana L'Tav Ovid, that it's for the good, then it's true. It's really true that he can recite HaTova HaMeitiv. Again, in this world, we don't have the capacity to recite Tova HaMeitiv because it's a Shmur Ra. And the Rambam says, Zedor HaSichli Etzel Balei HaSeichel. He says that this would be logical if you have a logical mind. In other words, the compelling logic is that everything that God, all anhugas, anything that happens is for the good. In other words, it would seem that just like there's a natural sense of thanking Hashem for good, if we understand that everything is good, we have to thank Hashem for every shmur. And that would be true even if we didn't have a pasuk to dictate that. L'fisha yesh dvarim rabim nirim b'tchilasam tovim v'yach risam ra rabba v'al kein ein roi l'maskil l'shtomim k'shetov alav ra gedola b'nei she'ini yodea ma yesofa. The Rambam sort of comes to console us, to calm us down. And he says, look, certain things that we think are for the good, and then down the line we see they were evil. And we could certainly admit that then in the flip side, in the mirror image side, certain things that seem evil, but at the end we understand they'll turn out to be good. So based on our philosophy, our faith in God, that kol ma'idavid ma'chmona l'tavavid, even a shmur ra is really in effect litav. And we can understand that down the line, that which we think is ra'ah is really litav, it's really for our benefit. And again, even though in this world, as we see it today, we don't have the ability, we don't have the, you know, we can't, in the way we recite brachos, we cannot recite the same bracha of HaTova HaMeitiv for ra'ah. I mean, that would almost border on cruelty. But nevertheless, we have to have that same feeling, that inner feeling, that's the kashem here, that really, although we're blessing God as HaTova HaMeitiv, what is in the ultimate truth is that it's really HaTova HaMeitiv. And the Gemara says in Psachim that at the end of days, we'll be able to be Mavarech HaTova HaMeitiv for anything. Now this concept, that something which looks bleak and looks like evil has befallen us is really in truth part of a divine plan, is reflected in the writings of a number of the Gedolim, of the giants throughout the centuries. We'll start with the Ramchal in his famous book Das Tvunos, and he writes Od Odiacha Be'inyan Hazeh Dover Yosef Prati Vehu Ki Vaday Bechol Midu Midu Shehu Yisbarach Modei Lanu Navkin Shnei Inyanin. Anything that occurs to us, anything that befalls the people, can be classified in one of two categories. Hanireh v'hanistar, that which we see, meaning that's apparent to the naked eye. And the nistar means the ultimate purpose, which is very often concealed. And we don't understand what God is doing and what His purpose is. Dahainu, he gives the following example. Hanireh, something which we understand and we see, is schar v'yonesh. We see that Hashem punishes. We see Hashem giving reward. L'misha nimdada lo hamida ahi l'fi ma shehi hatova im hi ra'ah. So this is called nira, that a person gets what he deserves, measure for measure. And if he deserves good, he deserves reward, that's what he'll get. If on the other hand, he deserves to be punished, he'll be punished. By nistar. But then there's something deep below, hidden below the surface. He ha'etza ha'muka ha'nimtzeis tamid b'chol midosav lahavi bahen es habrios letikun ha'kloli. Meaning, in a greater sense, in terms of the entire creation and the purpose of creation, there's an etza ha'muka, there's a much deeper purpose in every one of the midos, in every way Hashem relates to the world and measures out for the world. And it's all for the purpose, the ultimate goal of tikkun hakloli. There's some concept called tikkun hakloli, the ultimate perfection, the ideal situation. Everything that happens is meant to be a stepping stone in that will project. It's like projecting the ship onto the shore. That's the mashal of tikkun hakloli. Kikachi mida hamida bevadai She'ein lecha masa katno gadol she'ein tochius kavanoso l'tikun ha'sholem. Everything that happens is, whether it's great, you know, in terms of it's a profound nature, it's very dramatic, has tremendous impact, or even if it's a maisa katan, it's all part of a divine plan. It's all a small piece, or maybe a large piece, in a puzzle, a great puzzle, called Tikkun HaSholem, the ultimate rectification or perfection of the world. That's the goal of Hashem. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, as we saw in the Rambam, the Gemara Brachos, Kol Mai David Rachmana Letav Ovid. And he says that you can find this concept that everything is for the good and everything is ultimately leading to the ultimate good in a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNovi. Yashov apcha utenachameni. That ultimately the divine wrath will be understood in a way of nechama, of consolation. We can be consolated by the fact that this divine wrath and bringing about some sort of evil is part of a divine plan and it's all for the good. Only at the end of days, at the time of the ultimate redemption and Mashiach, will it be clear to the eyes of all of Israel how even God's rebuke, His anger, and His Yisurin, His anguish and suffering that He brought to us, lo hayu ela al hazmanas hatov v'achanam mamish lebracha. They're all actions that are designed for the good. They're all preparations for the ultimate blessing. Even that which is tochach and yisur is all part of that plan. And if you talk about Hasidus today, certainly this is the, I would call it almost the Eben Pinah, the foundation stone of all of Hasidus, but certainly of Bretzlev Hasidus. They've made a whole discipline out of this very concept. Vehine, says Ramchal Ata, now, Ein Maseh Hashem Uvanim Lanu Klal. We don't understand what God is doing. We see things that are evil, that are befalling us, both as individuals and community. Ela Shitchiyusam Huanir, all we see is the surface level. V'tochiyusam Amiti Mistater. But the real purpose, the inner purpose, is completely concealed from our eyes. Ki Arei Atoch, this inner purpose, shove b'kula, but it's the same for everything that happens. That kulam chak l'tova. That's the key line here in the Ramchal. Kulam chak l'tova lo rak klal. So there's no real pure evil, as we would call it. It's all on the way towards tov. V'zeh eino nireh move on atavadai. Now in the world as we see it, we can't appreciate this. Ach liyosid lavo, in the future, Zelefachos nireh v'nasig. Let's at least understand and appreciate that. In fact, we also love at the end of the days. Ech hayu kol mesivos tachbulos of Yisparach hamukos lehetiv lonabach risenu. That we'll understand in the future. Everything will become clear to us that it's all part of a plan which is very deep and very profound. Lehetiv lonu be'ach risenu, for our ultimate good. Now, a similar idea we have in Reb Tzadok HaKohen, and he brings it closer to our subject for today, namely Purim and Chayev Ana Inish Libesume Bepurayu. Rashi says Libesume Lepurayu Lishtaker B'Yayin, the Shichrus of Yayin. And Mashachiv Udafka Yayin. What is the significance of Yayin? We saw already in the Chafetz Chaim that the significance of Yayin is that the Mishteh, both at the beginning of the Megillah and towards the end of the Megillah, plays such an important role in bringing about the miracle. But here, Reb Tzadok adds another dimension to the significance of Yayin. And he bases himself on the Maral, who was a few centuries before Reb Tzadok HaKohen, in the Maral's Gevuras Hashem, Hashtia mimashke shudak v'kolshken kashar mashku yayin nivdal v'yotze min anav shi nistar l'sham. In other words, the yayin means that we produce wine by extracting the wine from the grapes. So inside the grapes, before we crush the grapes and remove the wine is benistar. it is hidden from the naked eye. And he quotes the Medrash Tanchum in Chukas that says, Yayin nosad b'shivim, meaning the numerical value of the word Yayin is 70, and Sod nosad b'shivim. In other words, Sod, which is 60 for the Samach, Vav is another 6, Dalet is another 4. So just like Yayin is 70, so too Sod is 70, the secrets. And it's more than just a mechanical or mathematical gematria, but there's a very deep significance here in Yayin being Sod. They both have the same gematria. It's not just that we want to display or convey the message that when you drink wine, so secrets come out. But it's even more than that. It's not just symbolic of the physical and psychological result or repercussion of drinking wine, but it's something that's inherently true. There's a truth here inherent. Ki yayin hu mashke nistar yotzim ehester hanav. There's something called the pnimius of the grape, so to speak. And the yayin is to take out that pnimius, which is hester, which is concealed, and reveal it to the naked eye. Lefichach hayayin hu gadol benistar bepnimius hanav begematria is so. The gematria is just a result of the fact that really what Yayin represents is the nistar, the pnimius, that which is hidden from the eye, which is now being exposed. It's the Yayin that's inside the anav that's now being exposed. Kasher nichnas hayayin bi'adam, motzi hasod, so too there's something inside man which is pnimius, which is nistar. And the Yayin represents bringing that pnimius, which is concealed, out to the light. In other words, the process of bringing the sod or the nistar, the pnimius, outside to reveal it is subjective, and it really reflects each person differently. What is his madrega? Lefichach, hachila shel matzah bala geula nigles. With the case of matzah is not something. It's not a conduit or a means to reveal something that's hidden. The geula of Mitzrayim was absolutely clear, and it was perceptible to the naked eye. All the great miracles, the supernatural events that led up to and even went beyond the geula of Mitzrayim. But the shtia, the drinking of wine, ba al madrega el yona yosef, that's on a higher level, because then we're looking at something which is not Guluya, which is not a geula nigle, it's not something that's revealed, but we're going through a process of revealing that which is concealed, that which is pnim, that which is deep and amok below the surface. And says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Hine called Nes Shel Purim, the essence of the miracle of Purim, in contrast to the great redemption from Egypt, is that the geula is pnimius and it's hastara. It's all based on a sequence of events that are below the surface. And each event in and of itself is not identified clearly as a geula gluya, nigles. It's you know, this happens here and that happens here, and Vashti is removed, and Mordechai and Haman is given a position, and then everything that happened with Esther being chosen as the Mal. Every event being so visceral, every event in and of itself cannot be understood in a very open and clear way. The Nes is pure pnimius, it's pure nistar. That's what the essence of Purim is. And therefore Purim, representing the Yayin, and the significance of drinking wine on Purim, is to remove that which is nistar and make it golui, to take the juices that will make up the wine and remove them from their hidden spot inside the grapes. That's the whole process of Purim. That's what the essence of Purim is. That only at the end of the story of Purim do we clarify Lamafrei retroactively that every single event in and of itself was part of a divine plan leading to and culminating in the redemption, the salvation of Purim. That's what makes Purim so great. That's why Purim is called Li'os Olam Lo Yikares. that represents what the ultimate redemption is all about, that we'll get a clarity in which we'll understand that everything that was ra'ah, everything that seemed evil to us, was all meant to take us and project us towards good. As we saw in the Ramchal, everything which looks on the outside to be tochachios and so forth has a tochis, it has an inner meaning on a deeper level, and it's good, it's bringing about the ultimate tikkun kloli of God's divine plan. This idea, in a slightly different form, we'll find in the Tzlach. That's the Nodeh Yehuda in his commentary on Pesachim. The Gemara says in Pesachim Adaf Nun, Bo ure'e lo ka'olam hazeh olam haba. The difference between this world and the ultimate world. Ba'olam hazeh, al besorah tova b'varchem ha'tova ha'meitu, al besorah ra b'varach da'ayinu emes. So in this world, we don't have the capacity to recite Baruch Hatov Ametiv on something that's a Shmur Ra, as we said before. Baliyasid Lava Varcham Alakol Birchas Tova Ametiv. Vikasha. Halolasid Lava Yurak Pesoras Tova. Sumau Achidish Posesh Lasid Lava Yvarchu Rak Hatov Ametiv. We know that ultimately there'll only be good things happen. There won't be evil. And if that be the case, what does it mean that we'll be Mavarch on everything? Hatova meitiv. What about everything? Everything is good. So for sure everything is going to be a tova meitiv. What's the chiddush here? V'yesh Lomer says the tzlach, a gavaluga answer. He says, Zesha omer losi lo yivarcha lakol birchas hatova meitiv. What does it mean that we'll be mavarach for everything hatova meitiv? It's not referring to everything that happens, which is all good, but kai al masha ira b'meshach hagolus b'olam hazeh. It's going to reflect as a bracha on everything that happened, all the events that transpired over the long, bitter golos of Klal Yisrael during this world. Haidual Eloi Yiruim, all those incidents that Barachnu Aleim, we made a bracha, Birchas Dayan HaEmes, because we couldn't make the bracha Tova Meitiv as a Shmur Ra, Al Eloi Yivarch Lossid Lava Birchas Tova Meitiv. An amazing chiddush of the Tzlach, that we will take all those incidents. Again, I don't know if it's every individual or of Klal Yisrael, he doesn't work out the details, but all those incidents that generated a brach of Dayan Emes over the course of the long, bitter golos of Klal Yisrael, now we're going to mevarech instead of Dayan Emes on those very incidents that took place long in the past. Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv will now be able to perceive how all those incidents were part of a divine plan for the good, for, as we said before, the Tikkun HaKloli. Now, what kind of a person can fit this description, as we said before, that he could be Mavarach, Baruch, Dayan, or Emes with all the feeling of a Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv? So just to give you one example of such an individual, if you take a look in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he speaks about the fact that he is a Shliach Hashem to tell us a story. And he tells us that we should be mishtateach on the kever of an ish kadosh, a very holy man. Now, the ish kadosh is described in the following way. Who is this person that we have to almost worship him because we have to look up to him as an ideal? What does he personify? What is his behavior pattern? And he says the following. He says, "Be it Yotzki Mayim al Yado, Bitchiloso Bo Lebashkevitz." The Chasam Sofer comes to Bashkevitz. That's way before he gets to Prejburg. V'lohoyelo. At this point, he has Kiyim Ben Katan. He has a young boy, Ubas, and he has one daughter. V'hi Kiyud Beisha. She's 12 years old. Ahuvelo B'maseo. She was so beloved to him, it's indescribable. Efshel l'saper shvacha. He didn't have enough words to describe her greatness. But Baba Nosenu Arabim, unfortunately, tragically, Mesa Sham, she died there in Bashkevitz, velo Doma Eino. And he was matzdik the din. He justified the judgment of God, v'simcha gdol v'nifla. Something that you won't see another example of. even on Simchas Torah, he had maybe in his davening on Simchas Torah, he had that level of simcha. But in Parshas Vayera, the parsha of the Akedah, when he was called upon to get the first aliyah and then to recite the maftir, and that's what he did every Shabbos. And on the Shabbos during Shiva, he again took the first aliyah and maftir. When he got to the Haftorah and the story of the tragic death of the young child, Zolag Dima Achas Be'enov, one of his eyes started tearing. V'kiblo b'yodo, when he received in his hand that tear. Umiyad, and immediately Chaza V'nepach Li'acher. There was a transformation of his personality. Shuvno Nirbos Shum Remes Atzmus. Never again did he have even the slightest indication of sadness. V'lo Hizkir Shma Klal. He didn't mention the name of his daughter at all. And he didn't have any other children, but v'lo asa l'zeh shum tachboles, he was nevertheless able to be besimcha all his life. It's an amazing example, a paradigm of someone who in the face of catastrophe and tragedy is able to see the good and still achieve simcha. That's what they say, the story about the Aderes, that when he lost the child, he didn't come out to the funeral for a few hours. And when they asked him what happened, he says he was preparing to make the bracha of Baruch Dayan Emes with all the kavana and the kabbalah of Yisurin and the simcha that he possibly could. It took him hours to get himself psyched up to that madrega. In Haggadah Shel Pesach, we recite, Hotzionu me'avdus l'cheres mi'yogun l'simcha me'evel yom tov me'afel or gadol umishibud l'gula. And what we see here is that it goes from one extreme to the other. We appreciate the redemption because it takes us from yogun to simcha, from evel to yom tov, from afel or gadol, from one extreme to the other, mi'yogun l'simcha. And if there is any month in the year which is appropriately described as Miyagon L'Simcha, it's got to be the month of Adar. And the Pasuk says, Achodesh Asher Nefach Lahem Miyagon L'Simcha, the month of Adar, which was designated by Haman to be the most catastrophic month of the year of all of Jewish history. Nevertheless, it was transformed into a month of Simcha. To go from one extreme to the other, from a month that seemed like black despair to a month of Yagon, to a month of Simcha, of pure joy. Haman thought it was a month that would be the destruction. It was the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died, but in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar, and Adar is a month that's laden with simcha and redemption. And that's what we appreciate about Purim. The nefach, the nafochu, from one extreme to the other. Ashel yishlutu ayyudim hema b'soneihem. Now, in Shari Tshuva, one of the super commentaries on Shulchan Aruch HaRachaim in Tofresh Tzadi Hei, he writes in the name of Rav Yaakov Emdin that with regard to Sudas Purim, we don't have to have a zecher l'avelus. We don't need what normally requires remembering the destruction of Yerushalayim. Well, I came into the chayv l'besumei ad lo yada. Now, what does this mean? That because it's chayv l'besumei ad lo yada, therefore we don't have to mention and remind us of the avelus of Yerushalayim? But the answer is, Rav Elie Baruch Finkel writes, Inyan Ashikris Machaivasa Shalo Yizkar Bishum Tirda Vidaga Rak Imtza Ba'olam Shekula Liros Tov. Yimatze Ba'olam Shekula. He finds himself through the Shikrus in a world that's Kulo Tov, without any Tirda, without any Daiga. And therefore, it's not appropriate to think of and remind yourself of the Avelus, the mourning and the grief over the destruction of Yerushalayim. We can add another piece here, that since everything that's Choshech becomes Or, We said Me'afeil or Gadol, since if an afochu, then even something like the Churban Abayis, as tragic as it is part of a divine plan that's leading us for ultimate good. Now the Bnei Yisoschar writes the following. There's a famous statement in the Medrash that Kol Amoradim Yubetelim, but Yemei Apurim Lo Nivtolim. The days of Purim will not be destroyed. Bevadai Min Aroy Lahavin Ech Yitzuyar Shekol Amoradim Yubetelim Alo Kaimalan Hashem Yisparach Lo Yachvich Lo Yomer Dasa. One of the fundamentals of faith is that all of the principles of our religion, all the mitzvahs, will not be batel. They will never be changed. They will never be replaced. He says, "Vehine kol ha'moadim em zechel utzis mitzrayim. Vehine yud b'teilum limos ha'mashiach. Hainu shetigdal kol kach ha'nisim blosed lovo. An shenisei ha'moadim shem zechel utzis mitzrayim yizbatlu b'sipur ha'osid b'samach o b'mea v'elef ha'chayotz." We have a concept called bittul in the Daf Yomi and Chulin. That's what we're learning about. That if a portion of Easter gets mixed up in heter, if the amount of heter, the volume of heter is so much greater than the volume of Easter, it's batel. And here, when you compare the great Nisim Liosid Lovo to Nisei Yitzis Mitzrayim, the miracles of Yitzis Mitzrayim are dwarfed, are overshadowed by the great miracles of Liosid Lovo, they're batel. Not that the religion will change, Chas V'Shalom, not that the mitzvah will be abrogated. Now he says the following: Hine bazet ole agula sida, vine heim hema kinyane gula sida shi Hashem vakisei shalom v'meir v'meinu heim hine elu yemei apurim lo yeh bahem bitol b'shish v'chayotzi ki zechra yom elu heim ki yemei agula achrona shi yimcha zaro shalom olik v'meir v'meinu amen. That the ultimate geula and all the great miracles that will occur, that's all representative of the final destruction of Amalek, the eradication of evil in this world. And that's what Purim is all about. Purim is Me'ein HaGeula Sida. It's again a microcosm of the destruction of Amalek. And once Amalek is defeated, we'll be able to understand Lamafreya retroactively how all the suffering and all the terrible things that occurred are part of a divine plan meant to project us towards the ultimate geula. The great Sakhachava Rebbe in the Shem Yishmuel, the son of the Sakhachava Rebbe, says the following: Leil Pesach, Oz Hoyehepech, Bechines His Almus, Ke Amoram Zal, Achenigal Leim Elf Malchim Lochim, Vigolam. That why is it that we commemorate the great miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim at night? Normally, night is representative of Hester, of concealment, of the divine being not to be perceived. But Leil Pesach is different, because instead of concealing, it's Ad Shenigla Leil Melech Malchiyam Lochim V'Golam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself at night, Ke'or Hayom, as if it were the clarity of the day. And V'chein Nishar Rishum Olidoros, so we can recite Hallel on Leil Pesach because the Rishum, the impact of Geulas Mitzrayim at the night, makes the night into a day. We normally don't recite Hallel at night, but on the night of Purim, on the night of Pesach, we do. Falkane, he says, Liosid Lavo Nami Ksiv, the Poskin Yeshaya says, Hashir Yelachem Kilel His Kaddish Chag Mashma Sha'oz Yashir Nami Balaila. The shir will be in the future at night, because it says Kilel is Kaddish Chag. Val Korchach Leil Kane Leil Purim, which is even greater than Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Yitzias Mitzrayim is only Mimisal, is only Me'avdus L'Cheiris, and there's a Kal V'Chomer that Purim is even greater. It's Mimisal L'Chaim L'Kolshkein. It's Me'ein Olam Habo, Me'ein Liosid Lavo. And therefore, it's shaykh to have a kriya even balayla. So the Shem Yishmur wants to justify that if kriya samagila replaces halil, how can we have a kriya samagila at night? We don't recite halil until the day. And the answer is halil requires day because of the clarity of the geula. But there are two nights in the year where we have the clarity of the geula even at night. And that's Leil HaPesach, commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim, and how much more so with the Kal V'chomer Misal L'Chaim, the night of Purim, which commemorates the great Ge'ul of Purim. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, Efshel Lomar, Shezeh Hoya Kavonis Yosef V'Tzavos L'Hosim HaGviyah V'Yamtachas Binyamin. All of Purim, being Mordechai and Esther, is about Shevet Binyamin. Now, if you recall, Yosef commands his workers, his servants, to hide this Gviyah, this goblet, inside the sack of Binyamin. What is the deeper meaning of this Gviyah? And why in the sack of Binyamin? Says the Shem Yishmuel, who alpima shekosef harav hakadosh b'magala amukos, the Magala Amukos of Rav Shimshon Shapiro, he says that Gviyah is a word that can be split into two parts. You take the first and the third letters, the second and the fourth letters, and you end up with Yud Gimel and then Ayin Beis. Hainu, Yud Gimel Midos of Chesed V'Rachamim. And this is a remez that when Yosef commanded to put the Gviyah in the Amtachas of Binyamin, Shemimenu Yetze a Beis. What's this Beis? Beis Golem. There'll be two Golem that are going to come from the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Two human beings which will play the role as facilitators of the ultimate Geula. And who are those two people? That's Mordechai and Esther. And that's the symbol of the Gviyah. Misparam Gviyah Dahinu Yud Gimel Ayin Beis. That if you take Mordechai and Esther and you add that together, you end up with the word Gviyah, which is Yud Gimel and Ayin Beis. So all this Midas HaRachamim is a remez for the ultimate Geula that's going to come from the descendants of Binyamin through Mordechai and Esther from Shevet Binyamin. And that's the symbolism of the Gviyah. Now, if you take a look, and with this we'll have to wrap it up, at the Zohar, quoting in the Hakdama, Rabbi Chizkiya, Pasach Siv, it says in Shirashim, Kishoshana ben Achochim, Man Shoshana Do Knesset Yisrael, Man Shoshana Isbe Tleisar Olim, the rose has 13 petals, Af Knesset Yisrael Isbe Tlosin Mechilin Rachme, meaning the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is therefore compared to the Shoshanah, to the rose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Midas HaRachamim has given us Mordechai and Esther that represent the Shoshanah, that represent the 13 petals, the 13 categories of Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirotzom Mevizoche to Amir Tzashem, that great Midas HaRachamim in our time, which will bring about the ultimate Geula, in which, like in the Geula of Purim, we were able to understand L'mafreya, all the pieces of the puzzle. We'll be able to appreciate, as the Tzach says, with a bracha v'atova meitiv, even on things that in the past, during Jewish history, in the Golus, we recited Baruch Dayan Emes. Now all of a sudden we have a clarity of vision, in which we're able to perceive and appreciate that all these events were only meant to project us and propel us towards good, towards Tikkun HaKloli, towards the Geula Shleima B'Meirah V'Yameinu. Amen.